Well, good morning. It's great to be back here again. It's been a little while. It's good to see your beautiful faces. Before my lovely wife brings a message that really felt like the Lord downloaded it on most of it on her heart, even yesterday, which I think is very applicable, what she's going to share. But for those that don't know us, Mike and Pat Picone, we're at New Life International Ministries. We work in several countries, in Singapore, Malaysia, North India, but the main country we work in is in the nation of Nepal, and we've been working in that country since 1999, and we've been rescuing the physically challenged people of that country. We have several sites there, several churches. This past, I was there in March, and I was scheduled to leave in March to come back home. I was there for almost 3 weeks and scheduled to leave, and they shut everything down. And so we couldn't fly out. They shut down not only the Nepali airport, but they shut down the Singapore airport, which I would have went to from Nepal. And they so you couldn't get out. All the nations shut down. So the world went on pause, as many of you know. That's past news. And but the U.S. Embassy in Nepal, they chartered a flight, and we were able to get out. It just took some time. So our ministry there has been up and running, even though they've been quarantined at times. They've been shut down also. Over there, when they shut down, the police get on the street, the army get on the street. And if you're on the street and they tell you you're not supposed to be on the street at that time, they will cane you. They will take, they got big, hard wooden sticks, and they didn't cane us, but we saw it on TV, some people getting beat by the police or by the army. And so, but we've been able to continue our ministry with our churches and then reaching out into the back villages, the Chapong tribal people in the central mountains of Nepal. We've been reaching back to them. When we started there many years ago, there was hardly any churches there, and now there's churches all through that region. There's literally thousands of Christians back in this area. We're so thankful we've played a little part in that, and we bring supplies, and so as we are able, we send finances over, and then if they can literally bring the resources in on trucks and things, they do. Otherwise, if they're shut down from Kathmandu Valley to go back there, then they have to wire transfer the money to one of our other pastors. Then he's got to take a motorbike and get the money to another region where they can buy supplies and bring it up the mountain. So it's just a whole bunch of things that have to be done. But we appreciate your prayers. One of the things I will ask you to pray for is that we just recently had this. Let me just back up. When we first started the ministry years ago, it was an underground church. It was the persecuted church. You could not have church in Nepal. You would be arrested. There's a 7-year per person sentence for baptizing. So I've got about 1,000 years hanging over my head if I was ever caught. And it started to open through the early 2000s and recently. Well, now it's starting to revert again, and we've had Hindu people come from the government and told us that we had to change our name because it's New Life. There, it's New Life Handicap Prayer Tower Ministry, which they call an ashram, which means a prayer house, and they're saying you can't do that. You can't pray here. You can't sing. Does that sound familiar? You can't sing here. You can't do any of this Christian activity. So our people said, oh, okay. Well, So we may have to change the name, the legal name in the government of our ministry there. And so I appreciate your prayers because they have threatened that if we don't do things like that, they could actually shut us down. And they could take away your property. So thank God for the freedoms that we still have in this country. Let's fight for them and pray for them. Amen. So I'm going to let you, I'm going to turn this over to my wonderful wife. And again, it's great to be here. Thank you. Thank you, pastors, Richard and Diana. So great that you invited us. The light's on.
And nobody's home. Oh, I'm on now. Ooh. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. The light's on and nobody's home. It's good to be back with y'all. It really is. Y'all, I must be in the South somewhere. It's good to be back. It's been a year, hasn't it? Maybe it's been a year since we've been here. And it's been a crazy year. Anybody realize that the most useless thing they bought was a 2020 planner? Yeah. That was horrible. Why bother, right? I mean, I got a couple of notes in it from the beginning, and then it's like bzzz, nothing until just recently when we could start to travel again. But it's been a crazy year. We thank God that God is still on the throne, and he is in control of our lives. Aren't we glad for that? Amen. Let's start in. We're going to start in Acts 27 today. Really been praying and asking the Lord for a word for the church and, you know, before we were coming. And Mike and I always ask the Lord, you know, who has the word, so to speak, who's going to preach. And usually I'm like, go ahead, honey, you preach. I'll just sit here and amen you. Today I really felt like the Lord gave me a word for the church. So we're going to start in Acts 27. It's a very familiar portion. Oh, there you are. Hi. And so we'll start Acts 27, verse 1. When it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship at Andromedium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. I'm not going to read the whole account here, but Paul was arrested. He was thrown in jail, and here he is on the way to Rome. He's getting ready to go to Rome, and it's a serious time for him. One of the things that, let's keep reading, and then I'll go back and look over. Let's go down to verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euryclidon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this word that you've given me, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd use me to speak clearly what it is that you want to say to the church, Father. Father, I pray that for hearts that are open, for ears that are open, Father, that our lives would be changed by your word, Father God, because that is the thing that changes our lives. Father, we give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So what an account. I mean, I looking at it in the natural, I can't imagine being on this little ship, because they weren't big. It wasn't an ocean liner. It wasn't a cruise ship. I can't imagine being on the ship and these things were going on. But this really speaks to us today, doesn't it? I mean, if you look at some of the things that have gone on in this account, you realize that this really speaks to us today. So the name of the person that was in charge of this whole situation, his name was Julius, and I thought it was interesting. I started looking up some of the names of the people, and Julius means soft-haired. He was a compassionate man. He was compassionate. He was soft-hearted. They call it soft-haired, but he was soft-hearted, and he was part of the Augustan regiment, which was known for valor. So he was compassionate, but he was also, the reason they got put in this regiment was because they had courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. So he was the one that was in command of this whole ship. He was part of the soldiers that were there. And we want to talk a little bit about the different people that were in there, but I'll get to that later on. So here was Julius that was in there. And as they went, it says that they went from Adramitium, and the name of that place actually means, I shall abide in death. Paul was on his way to die. There was no secret to that. These prisoners were on their way. That was their fate. They would go to jail, but they would not get fed. They would not get different things. We've been to jails in India, not because we were put in there, but because we were visiting people, thank God. But in India and Nepal, and it's not like it is in the United States. It's, you know, we really don't understand the freedoms and the things that we have here until you go visit other places that don't have that. And the jails in India and Nepal, they don't get fed. Your family brings you food. Your family brings anything you need. Otherwise, you don't get it. And so here were these people that were going to be put into jail, and they could be starved to death, beaten to death, martyred for whatever reason, killed for whatever reason at the whim of the emperor or whoever decided it was. They were the lowest of the low. They weren't, you know, Paul talked about that we're like the prisoners on parade at the end. You know, they were beaten. A lot of things would happen. So here this town means I shall abide in death. So it says it as they went in verses in verse 14, it says, not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euryclidon. So the name of that, I really like this. It means a northeast wind, but it's a violent agitation, a surge. It's a violent. This was not a normal storm. This wasn't just, you know, a little thunderstorm or even a Midwest storm that comes up. This storm was meant to kill them. This storm was meant to take them out. It was meant to destroy them. And it sounds a lot like what's going on today, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like what this year has been like. The storm that has been put up has been meant to kill us. That's just the truth. That's just a fact. It's been meant to kill us. This storm was meant to shut down the testimony of Jesus on the earth and to stop everything that was going on. But, of course, we know that that's not going to happen because God is God. And it says in verse 15, when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. I thought that was interesting because when I looked at that word, it says to give up to the power of another. And how many times? Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't have church. You can't go here. You can't do this. You know, where you're given up to the power of another. You have no choice, but you want to obey the laws of the land. You want to obey what you're supposed to obey. And so here, that word drive, we gave it up. We just gave it up to the power of another. Letting people tell us what we can and can't do. That's what we've had to do this year to get to this point. But it says in there in, let me go back. But then it says in verse 16, running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. And Clauda means lame. And here this, that now, what's happened is, in a lot of that, it says the ship became disabled because of this storm. And the church has become disabled because of the storm. The church has become, not the church in as a whole. I don't believe this church has become disabled. I believe there was that pause, but I believe this church is moving forward the way it's supposed to be. But there are many churches today that are still not open. There are many churches today that are still, you know, afraid of what's going on. Just that word was so appropriate, that fear that's in the air. It's just in the air. That fear is there to stop people. And here the ship was disabled. And we as a church have become disabled because of everything that's gone on. And they had to actually secure it. I think that's interesting, too, that they had to secure it. They had to use cables to undergird the ship, fearing lest they should run aground on the quicksand. That's what Sirtis means, on the quicksands. And what happens when you hit quicksand? You sink rapidly. There's no getting out of quicksand unless there's a certain way you can get out, but the more you just kind of struggle, the deeper you go down and the quicker you go down. And that's what's happened. There's a fear that we're going to sink. There's a fear that churches aren't going to open. There's a fear that we're not going to make it. There's a fear of who's going to become president in 2020. There's such a fear in the land, and it brings up, and then the violence is there. This storm has been a violent storm. I won't say unprecedented because I believe it's happened somewhere in the past. There's been other things like this. But in our lifetime and in our country, we haven't seen this happen. We haven't seen it. In the 60s, 68, I remember, was a little bit of a violent thing, but it was nothing like this. This is a lot more violent than it was in the 60s. And so here, you know, the church has got to be undergirded with cable, so to speak, got to be undergirded with the word of the Lord, be undergirded with prayer, be undergirded with worship in order to continue to go. You know, but here you think, well, they were undergirded, so we're good now, right? We can just go. We're good. I got prayer. I prayed today. You know, it's good. You know, the devil's going to back off now because I prayed today. That's not going to happen. I'm just telling you, it's not going to happen. And so here they kept going. It says, because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed. So here they're going. They're still going. And now they're saying, because we were in this violent surge, this violent thing that was going on, they decided to lighten the ship. And this has been good to a point, hasn't it? It's been good for us to have a pause, because I know for us, we're used to going. And a lot of you are used to, you know, if I want something, I just go to the store. If I want to go out to eat, I just stop at the restaurant. If I want to, you know, whatever it is, I can just do it. And so all of a sudden, it's been a pause. And I remember, I mean, for the first couple of weeks, it felt kind of good, because Mike and I are usually really busy, and we had already planned. We had another place to go in April, and then we're going back to Singapore in June, and Singapore and Malaysia, and then we'd go back to Nepal, and then, you know, we had all these places and all these things planned, and it didn't happen. So the first couple of weeks, though, it kind of felt like, oh, this is kind of nice. I like this. You know, I don't have to run to meetings, Pastor Richard. This is kind of nice. And then all of a sudden, you start to get like, now what do I do? And I mean, I could stay busy at home, but you know, it's not the same. It's really, and you know that, you know, it's not the same. Now, I know that for some of us, I mean, I know Alicia was, she's like, what pause are you talking about? What pause? I got ramped up. But for the majority of people, there was this pause. And then we have to lighten. We had to lighten our load, didn't we? But what's happened with some of it is that there are people that have not just thrown out the unnecessary things. They've begun to throw out the necessary things. They've got this, you know, almost this like, What are we going to do? You know, and so I can't go to church. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I've watched Christians. I'll tell you, social media is like, it's an adventure, and it's an education sometimes, and especially now. Social media has got to be an amazing education. And like, aren't you still a Christian? What are you talking about? Why are you posting those things? Why is there such anger? Why are you acting like that? And, you know, I mean, relatives, we know, how many relatives do you have that are, you know, are kind of like spouting things that you think, do you even look to see if that's truth before you post it? Or do you even research? I know you are not like this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because there are people that are going to hear this that aren't here. And so please research what you read or what you hear. I don't care who it is. I don't care what it is. Research what you read and what you hear, because what you will find out is that you are not hearing the whole truth. You are not hearing all the facts. I don't care which side of the debate you're on, you're still not hearing all the truth. Go research it. I remember many years ago, there was something about ABC, and they had said that the news, or the television station, and they had said that someone had posted something or on their website, and the person yelled at them and told them, stop, you're a bad Christian, or who do you think you are, and just this whole thing. And I thought, I wonder if that's true. Is that true? And so I emailed them. I said, hey, hi, ABC. I've seen this. Is this true? Because I don't want to just say it is and if it's not. And they emailed me back, and they said, unfortunately, that was true. Somebody had, it was just this whole ridiculous thing. But we have since, that person's not here, and we, you know, apologize for all of it. But I went and found out. Go to the source and find out what's going on. Don't throw out everything you need. We have need of church. We have need of fellowship. We have need of kindness. We have need of prayer. We have need of the Word of God. We have need of these things. Don't throw those out in the midst of the storm. Please don't throw out your Christianity, and please don't throw out kindness. Because someone says something, and they will, during this time that is very volatile, please remember who you are and whose you are. Please remember that. Because what happens is, in the heat of the moment, you're going to want to, oh, I'm going to tell them what it's like. I'm going to tell them the truth. But what happens is, you can speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Don't speak the truth in anger. Speak the truth in love. Now, there's a place for righteous anger, but a lot of times, come on, folks, we use that excuse all the time. Well, I'm just righteously angry. No, you're not. You're just mad, and you're in the flesh, so stop. So don't throw out the things you need. Keep the tackle and the things you need for the days that are ahead, because that storm wasn't over. That storm wasn't over there. It was still going on. And when you stop in the middle, and there's been, unfortunately, many Christians at this time that have just jumped ship, so to speak, which is what they wanted to do. They wanted to jump ship. And they, you know, at this time they said, we'll get down into that, but they wanted to quit. And there's been many Christians, unfortunately, that have done that. And I know that's not here because you're here today. I know it's not here. But we have to remember not to throw out everything that we know. So let's look over at verses 27 through 32. It says, now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, they cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall. They just wanted to give up. They wanted to just leave. And that's what I'm saying. A lot of times some of the Christians, not you guys, but some of them just want to give up. The other thing that was interesting was it was the 14th night. Here was the 14th night. The 14th night means deliverance and salvation. Here was the 14th night. Here was the time that God stepped in, so to speak, and caused it to happen. So often we are in the first through the 13th night, and we are feeling like, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. You don't understand. I can't do this anymore. For those of you that don't know, we have a special needs daughter that is 38 years old, is developmentally, I can speak English, I know I can, developmentally delayed, and she's also has cerebral palsy. She's in a wheelchair. And there are many times, folks, I feel like I can't do this. There are many times. She needs a lot of help. And there are many times I feel like I can't do this anymore. But you know what? God hasn't called me to give up, and He hasn't called you to give up. I can't tell you how many times we've been in Nepal or India or a back village when I thought, what am I doing here? What am I doing here, Lord? First of all, I have nothing to give these people. So I think, well, that's right. I have nothing to give them. But the Lord sent me there for a purpose. So what am I doing here? There's no bathroom. There's no running water. There's no sanitary conditions. Some of them make you pretty sick. Seriously, for the germaphobes, don't come. Or you'll get delivered, one way or the other. Because I got delivered, that's what happened to me. So, but you can do it. We can do it. We just have to hold on. You just have to hold on. You just have to hold on. Will I see healing for my daughter in this lifetime? I don't know, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to quit praying for her. You know, people think they're in an impossible situation, and why bother to pray anymore? I went through that at one time. Why bother to pray? It's not going to change. I've asked the Lord for this thing so many times, and it's not going to change. I know there's people in here that you've had that happen. But I'm going to tell you what, the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, so you don't want to pray? And I said, well, I've asked you this all these times and it's not going to change. And he said, why not pray? Why not? Well, maybe nothing's going to happen. Well, maybe something is going to happen. Don't throw out your faith. Don't throw out your, you know, this is, you know, the world's going crazy, so there's no sense in praying because it's just going to happen. And if you read the end times, you think, well, you know, forget it. It's just going to happen anyway. I might just as well let it happen. Just pray. Don't throw out the things that you need. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because here they thought, in verse 20, they said, all hope that we would be saved was given up, but they got saved, didn't they? All hope that they were going to be saved, they had quit hoping. And here in verse 27, it says, the 14th night, salvation and deliverance showed up. How about that? Don't quit on the 13th night, please. So it says, and now look over at verse 42 through 44. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, remember him, Julius, the compassionate one, who was brave in the face of danger, decided that he wanted to save Paul. And he kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first to get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. That just amazes me that of what God can do. So who were these people that were on the ship? You know, there were the sailors that were on the ship. There were the soldiers that were on the ship. And there were the prisoners that were on the ship. Who were these people? So the sailors were, the term nautical comes from their name, nautus, N-A-U-T-A-S, if anybody's writing it down. This was their ship. They were the ones, the working people. They knew how to maneuver it, sail it. They were hired to take the prisoners to jail. They were the working men. They were the working people. They were the working class, so to speak. And they were looking to save themselves, but they were so needed at a time like this. And you might be that type of person. You might be the person that says, well, I'm just a laborer in the field. I'm not anybody. I'm just a laborer. But you're so needed at this time. You're so needed. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't look to just save yourself, my four and no more. Look around. What are the needs that are around? It's that time, and it's going to take a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to give to other people at times. It's a sacrifice to help. When Mike was talking about in the central mountains of Nepal, we go up into the Chepang tribe and we minister. And on normal times, they are very poor. Not United States poor. They are poor. They are very poor. And if their house burns down, they can't go to the welfare agency or the social service agency or the government. They can't go to anybody for help. They have to. They have nothing. But now, in this time, when there's been quarantine and people can't go anywhere, they are worse. At times, there have been people that have starved to death this year over there because they don't have the resources. So here, you know, we're trying to get the resources up there. You know, it's a sacrifice sometimes to try to look around and say, you know what, that person, they really need something. But, you know, they said something really bad about me last week, so I don't think I'm going to help them. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. Karma, there it is. And don't do it. Karma's terrible. Karma's terrible. We minister to a lot of people that are disabled that country believes in karma. So they believe that they got what they deserve. Don't do that. Don't do that. We're Christians. Don't do that. You know, when people, I know, you know, people die, don't be there like, wow, that's good. Get rid of that one. Now we got another one coming. We can do, you know, I know the Supreme Court justice just passed away. Don't be like, good, now we're ready. Just, you know, praise God that, you know, we're not like that. We don't act like that when that happens. So here were the sailors. They were the working men. If you're that person that, well, I'm just a worker, we need you. We need you at this time. This is not the time for any of us to just sit back and I'll just relax because I can't do anything anyway. Find ways to do something. And just do it. So who were the soldiers? They were the fighting men, the champions of the cause. They were the authorities, those in charge of the prisoners. And they gave the orders. And we need those who can be in charge. You need Pastor Richard and Pastor Diana. You need Brian and Karen. You need these people that are in your life. You need these authorities in the church because we're not talking about armchair quarterbacks, are we? There's a lot of people that want to be in charge, but I'm talking about the people that are really in charge. There's a lot of people that want to be in charge, that know, we all know what our government should be doing, but we're not there. We all know what, you know, what's going on. We all know, you know, you watch that football game and you know what that person should, oh, why did he get rid of that? Yeah, we don't watch football anymore, but anyway. But, you know, why did they do that? Or, you know, you watch this and it's like, man, they should have done this. But that's an armchair quarterback. That's the person that knows what they should do but has no experience or very little experience in that position. And so, but we need the real leaders. We need the real, the people that can, seasoned men and women of God who can direct and encourage the work. You know, in Matthew 8, 9, remember that centurion that asked Jesus to come heal? And Jesus said, I'll come and heal your daughter. And he said, was it his daughter or his servant? I always get those mixed up. But anyway, he said, I'm a man under authority and I have soldiers under me. A leader is under authority and also has authority. But we need those people. We need you in the body of Christ. We need you to, again, you know, especially with church not, you know, what it used to be or what it, we need those leaders. And I thank God for your leaders that have stepped up and said, we're moving forward by the grace of God. And then there were the prisoners on the ship. Who were they? They were the people that were there not of their own choosing. They didn't choose to be there, but because they've been caught defying the laws of the day. Many times they were political prisoners, those who had offended a ruler, or someone just in debt that couldn't pay, got thrown in jail. We still have some of those laws on the books today that people get in debt they can't pay. Paul was there because he was a Christian. Imagine that. Things don't always happen because we've caused them. Things don't always happen because it's our fault. Karma really isn't truth, okay, folks? Please, it's not like, well, you did this, so. And now, there are times we do cause things. I'm not saying we don't. But they don't always happen because we've caused them. But when things happen, we still need to jump into action just the same. So even though you may say, well, I'm in this situation because of something else that happened. Maybe you're divorced because someone divorced you. And you say, that wasn't my idea. I didn't get divorced. I didn't want to get divorced. But you can't use that as a bubble to stay in. Does that make sense? You can't use that as an excuse. I hate to say excuse because it makes it sound bad, but it's truth. You can't use that as an excuse. You can't use that as, you know, well, I could very easily have used the excuse, I have a daughter who's disabled. I can't go on the mission field. I can't travel. This is a full-time job. And let me tell you, it's a full-time job. It is a full-time job. I won't even get into some of the stories. It's a full-time job. But the Lord didn't allow me to use that as an excuse. Didn't allow me to sit back. He said, you know, I'm going to use you. But God, you don't understand. But God, I have this. But God, I have young children. But God, I have this. And God said, well, it's up to you. But I'm telling you, I want to use you. We need to not use our circumstances that have happened to us as an excuse not to press into the things of the Lord or not to be used of God. We know that every single person in here has been called to be used of God in some capacity. You may not travel to the other countries. You may not be a preacher that stands on the stage. You may be, I don't know. You may not be, but maybe you're a businessman or you're a person or a woman or a person that, you know, I'm just a housewife. No, you're not just a housewife. You have a calling that God has put on your life. And so we need to push in and let, you know, be ready to jump into action no matter what, whether you're a prisoner, whether you're a soldier, or whether you're a sailor, because we're all in this thing together. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? We're all in the same boat, and we're all in the same tempest at times. Now, I mean, that one, the boat broke up, but the people were still alive, you know. And I thank God this boat isn't going to break up. So this boat is stable. This boat it's been undergirded with prayer. This church is staying, but we need to understand that we're all in this together. So I just want to pray. I hope that ministered to you a little bit. I want to pray for it. There's a few things I want to pray for. And if you feel comfortable coming up, please do. If you don't, you can stand up right where you are and we'll pray. Honey, would you come up here? I want to pray, first of all, that those that have been storm-tossed and have seriously thought about giving up. Now, I'm not talking about just a passing thought, I should just quit, but you've really been contemplating, I should just quit, I should just give up. This is too much for me. Whatever the situation has been, not just in this season, but in the whole thing, those that have been seriously contemplating giving up. I also want to pray that those that have begun to compromise in areas. I know these are hard to come up for prayer, but I'm telling you, we can get freedom if we'll be open and vulnerable and just say, Lord, that's me. You feel like you're slipping back into old habits that are not godly. We want to pray for those people. How about those that are weary but are still moving forward? You really need strength to continue. You're like, God, I'm putting one foot in front of the other, but I don't know how much longer I can put one foot in front of the other. So I really need your help. I'm not looking to quit, but I can't. I need strength. So we want to pray for them. And then the other one, I want to pray for anyone who feels these things, but maybe you've never asked Jesus into your life, and maybe you've turned your back on the Lord. I don't know. I don't want to assume everybody in here is a Christian, because that would be crazy. But, well, maybe you've turned away from the Lord. Maybe during this time you've just said, I don't really care. I don't want to do anything, Lord. We want to pray for you also. So let's pray for those things. Did you have anything else that you wanted to pray for?
This one is going to sound very general, but I've just been kept getting this, that somebody in this room has got pain kind of all over their body. And I don't know who that is. You're just in pain. And the other one, and this is more direct, was right about here. I think it's the right side. If it's your left side, we'll take it. But right in the kind of in the rib section, there has been a physical, just a problem, just some type of pain. And maybe I'm full of pea soup, but that's what I feel. I feel those promptings. And if you're here and you're okay with us laying hands on you, we want to pray for you. Just believe God to be healed. So if that's you, don't believe it's the person behind you. If that's you, then you should Amen. Respond in some way to it. All right?
Amen.
And those other things.
Amen. Otherwise, you can just stand and we'll pray too.